Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, pour out your blessings upon us that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us will not only hear your word, but also believe and also obey your word. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I start every Lord's Day sermon, I start the same way. I say, through the book of Luke, we are looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is furthering. Jesus Christ is saving the citizens of his kingdom. He is saving them from this world and sin. The citizens of his kingdom, heaven, they believe in their Savior, who is their Lord and God, who is Jesus Christ. In terms of what our chapter, this chapter 8, teaches about them, they are the people who hear the word of God and obey it. They are the good soil, like we saw last time, the good heart. Chapter 8, verse 15, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Again, we must understand today's passage in the same vein. God's people who hear the word of God and obey it, they are the ones who are also the members of God's eternal family, the family of heaven. The kingdom of God is consists of these people. The citizens of heaven are the heavenly family of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 8, verse 19, "And his mother and his brother came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd." Jesus' mother, earthly mother, Mary, and Jesus' brothers came to see Jesus. But they were unable to get to him because of the large crowd. Now, he said, our verse says, his brothers. For you and for me, this verse proves that Mary was not and is not forever virgin. Those who believe Mary to be forever virgin say that the word that has been translated as his brothers in our verse can also be translated as cousins and relatives. Thus, they are not actual brothers who were born of Mary, they say. And some even say that the brothers of Jesus in our passage are the ones who were born of Joseph's previous wife. I don't know how they get that, but people say things. But the natural reading of the Bible do not allow these views. Luke chapter 8, verse 20, "And it was reported to him, your mother, your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." People say to Jesus that his mother and his brother are standing outside, wishing to see him. At this, Luke chapter 8, verse 21, but Jesus answered and said to them, my mother, my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Again, Jesus accomplishes the kingdom of God and he witnesses the reality of that kingdom. As you know, there are the earthly families, but there is also the heavenly family. And this heavenly family, of course, they are not of the earthly bloodlines, but they are formed by Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ and by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are the members of the eternal heavenly family of God. They are the ones who hear the word of God and do it. They have become one family of God now and forever. Now some try to say that in verse 21, Jesus refers to his earthly mother and his earthly brothers by the word these, when he says, these are my brothers and my mother. That he was actually pointing to his earthly mother and brothers and said that they are the one who hear the word of God and do it. But if we look at the other Gospels, then it will become very clear that these guys who say things like that, they are wrong. The Bible must be interpreted by the Bible itself. We have the same story in Mark chapter 3. And there, verse 21, when his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him. For they were saying he has lost his senses. NIV says, when his family heard of this. You see, at the time, many people were saying that Jesus has lost his senses. And his family actually came out to get him, to stop him. And that same Mark, chapter 3, verse 32-35, answering them, Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whoever does the will of God is my mother and sister and mother. Looking about at those who are sitting around him, he says. Not looking at his earthly family. Mark makes it very clear. Matthew chapter 12, verse 49 through 50 makes it way more clear. It says, and stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Do you see it then? Our Lord Jesus Christ is proclaiming that his true mother and brothers are the ones who obey God. John chapter 7, verse 3 to 5, therefore his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers were believing in him. In the beginning, not even his earthly brothers believed Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. What is it? What are they saying? They're saying, blessed is your earthly mother. But Jesus said, On the contrary, he said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. The truly blessed are not Jesus' earthly family, but those who hear the word of God and obey it. Of course, Jesus is not saying that we must ignore our earthly family, but he is declaring that as he is accomplishing the kingdom of God, he is also accomplishing the eternal family of God. Jesus is proclaiming the formation of the earth, eternal, not earth, eternal family of heaven. Man, just one word wrong said, it's heretical. Let me say that again. Jesus is proclaiming the formation of the eternal family of heaven, the eternal family of God. John 19, verse 26 and 27. He was dying on the cross. When Jesus then saw his mother, earthly mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold, your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. What are we looking at? Jesus is dying on the cross, and beneath that cross, there are people. He says to Mary, and pointing to John, "Behold, your son." And to John, "Behold, your mother." And soon as that happened, what happens? Well, John takes Mary into his own household. What we are looking at here is the formation of the eternal family of heaven right under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not of the earthly bloodline, but by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, earthly family is not forever. It's temporary. All earthly are temporary. And I have to keep reminding you this. My wife will not be my wife in heaven. And I'm not going to be her husband in heaven. Me being husband and she being my wife, that earthly relationship will all be over soon. And when it's over forever. I'll be her brother and she be my brother. That forever. And we need to remind this time to time so that our focus is not just on earthly family. See, that's what worldly people do. The world always, that all they care is their family, earthly family. But this is not true of Christians. But that's what we see. Even Christians are so focused on earthly family alone. And we're not saying focusing on earthly family is bad. But if you just do that, it is bad. When we understand the gospel, Jesus Christ has made us as one family of God. The earthly relationship will end. But heavenly family. John chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, when Jesus said to John, "Your mother," and he said, "Your son," we need to remember Mary at that time had her earthly family. Mary had her own kids. And yet Jesus did not say, "Mary, your kids will take care of you." He did not say that. He pointed to John. and said, your mother. You need to understand what is going on there. Mary had her earthly family, but Jesus entrusts Mary to John to witness the reality of the eternal family of heaven. The heavenly family. It is always completely in terms of Jesus Christ. You and I are brothers because you and I are the brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you take out Jesus Christ, then you and I are not brothers. You just take out Jesus Christ, everything about Christianity is no more. Jesus is the center and He is everything. But once Jesus accomplishes it, then it's my eternal reality. Whether I like it or not doesn't really matter. God determines who my brothers are forever. God made you my brothers. That's why I love you. It's not, I don't ask myself, okay, is there loving quality in that person? Maybe that person is not worthy of my love. I don't think like that. God made you my brother, then I have to love you. I don't have any options. Because not to do so, is to reject what my Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished. It's to reject the gospel itself. But His will is our pleasing will. So He made you my brother, then His will is for me to love you, and that has to be my pleasing will also, that I love you. Christ is the reason. Christ is the motivation, is the meaning, is the purpose. Period. Man, some church people, they act like they have choice. What, you're not going to love that brother that Christ made that person to be your brother and you're going to reject it? Let's see how long you could reject it. Well, you might be able to reject until you die, but as soon as you die, you go to heaven, you're going to love that person. Because Christ has already accomplished it. Sooner you accept, the better. Romans 8, verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus says, But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Jesus has received us, the believers, as His brothers. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11, for both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus calls me His brother, He calls you His brother, and I call you my brother, because you are His brother, and I am His brother. Doesn't this all make sense? Of course it does. You and I, we are all brothers to one another. Heaven consists of only one family. And we are part of that family. We are one eternal family of heaven in Jesus Christ. We have one Father. We are all of His sons. See, I keep telling you, there is no grandchild in heaven. We are all His sons. Thus, we are all brothers. And as such, we must love one another. This is not an option. Either you start today, or you will start later, but you will love your brothers in heaven. Why not start early? Don't wait until you go to heaven. You're going to do it anyway. Because this is who you are. First John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love you, I mean, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. You could say all you want how much you love God, but if you do not love your brother, you are a liar. You're not loving God. And you could, you know, fake all this to earthly brothers, but you cannot fake God. James chapter 4, verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but judge of it. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And brothers and sisters, I command you, look around. You know, usually I don't want you to look around. I want you to look at me all the time. But right now, look around. Look at your brothers. They are your brothers. And you must love one another. Do you remember what happened as soon as sin came into this world in Genesis? As soon as sin comes in, what happens? Cain kills Abel, his brother. This is the reality of sin. See, you might ask, how come that I'm so having a hard time loving our brother? It's sin. Sin makes us hate our brother. Our sin killed our brother, Jesus Christ. This is the reality of sin. He died because of our sins. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus asked the same question to you. Where is your brother? And you and I, we cannot answer God's question like Cain, can we? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So God asks you next Thursday or this Thursday, say, where is brother and so name? Where is brother Smith? Meaning, do you know how he is doing? Do you know where he is? And you go, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Is that your attitude? That you think it's okay not knowing what my brothers are doing, how well doing? Brothers and sisters, we need to understand what we have become in Christ. We are our brother's keepers. God made us brothers, and as such, we are the keepers of one another. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, as our keeper, how far was he willing to go? to keep us, that He died for us. Yes, as we become one family of God, we have also became the keepers of our brothers in Jesus Christ. We must believe this reality and witness it by loving one another now and forever. Luke chapter 8 verse 21, "But he answered and said to them, My mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it." Jesus says that his mother and his brothers are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Those who are righteous. Because if you are the one who obeys the word of God, then you are the righteous one. But we all know that you and I, we cannot on our own ability and power obey the word of God. But we still must be righteous. Romans chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." We must obey, and that perfectly, to be righteous, to be justified. But we all know we can't. Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you to do your best to love your brothers. I'm telling you to believe that they are your brothers. Believe. And that faith, God promises, that faith you have, it will bear fruits. Not your efforts, but faith. Even if you do something by your own effort, outwardly people will get confused, but it's not actual sanctification. Even non-Christians, they try their best to be something. But that has nothing to do with sanctification. Sanctification has to come from faith. So ask yourself, do I really believe that these are my brothers? Not just in concept, but actual brothers in Christ. And if you truly believe, all that faith will move you. Holy Spirit will move you. The good news is that now in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, we are able to obey. We are able to love our brothers by faith. Romans chapter 16 verse 26 speaks of obedience of faith. John chapter 6 verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." The hearing and obeying in the Gospels turn into obedience by faith, work by faith in the letters of the apostles. Now it is all about faith. It is all about believing. The righteousness that we saw, the perfect righteousness, meaning perfect obedience, is now in Jesus Christ by believing Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 through 7, "But to you, one who does not work," meaning you have no works, "but believes in Him," Jesus, "who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Did you hear that? His faith, Paul says, his faith is credited as righteousness. Your faith is credited as righteousness, as a perfect obedience. But of course we need to be careful. James chapter 2 verse 26b says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." If one claims he believes but has no desire to obey God and does not put any effort to obey God, then that faith he thinks he has is not true faith. Thus, one with true faith always wants to obey God, and when he does not, and oftentimes he does not, then he repents of his sins. The members of eternal family of God are those who obey the word of God, he says, but they obey by faith in Jesus Christ. That Jesus, as our brother, truly loved us. He even gave his life for us. See, Jesus Christ has accomplished the eternal family of heaven. And this sinful world mocks at this truth. You know, when you do your best to obey God, they will say to you that you are crazy. They say things like, "Why do you want to live a complicated life?" Even other Christians mock you. Don't act like, they say, don't act like you are the only one who truly believe. Don't act like you are the only true church. I mean, we don't, but that's what you're going to hear. But you and I, we love Christ. Even he was treated as a crazy person. So, of course, it's not surprising that they will see us as crazy people in, who just believe in Christ. And that is true. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God." In other words, if we are crazy, even that is for our God. And we get that. We are crazy. We are crazy for our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. If you truly love your brothers in Christ as your true family member, oh, the world will say you're crazy. And your family members will think you're crazy. But we are crazy. Crazy for Christ. And we really don't care what they say to us or how they think of us. Brothers and sisters, some people are so afraid what people might think of them, but they don't fear God, how God would think of them. We are imitating Jesus Christ. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. We are to be more and more like Jesus Christ. This world will not understand you. But brothers and sisters, your eternal family understand you. We don't think you're crazy. And because of this, we are so important to one another. We are so precious to one another. And this is the church. We understand each other. Even though this world thinks we're crazy by doing our best to obey God, More important thing is that Jesus, our Lord, understands us. He loves us. And we must love one another. And I say one more time, look around. See your brothers and your sisters in Christ. See your eternal family. Psalm 133 verse 1, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That is our heavenly reality. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers of Christ, brothers to each other, dwell together in unity. Believe, brothers, how we are brothers in Christ. You know, sometimes I look at our church, and if I just see it through my physical eyes, I have to let you know that I am disappointed, just like you will be disappointed when you look at me, how I live. But I believe one day, you and I, together, will live in perfect unity. And we will be loving one another perfectly. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished this reality for us. And even as I'm discouraged, I am smiling because I'm not discouraged after all. Because you are my brother and I'm your brother. And Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And we will love one another. And by that faith, let us love one another, even now. I pray that just a couple seconds, you know, couple seconds when we gather as a church, it doesn't even have to be a long time. Longer the better. But even if it's just a couple seconds, if the world comes in and see us together, and they will see the glimpse of heaven because we are loving one another, because you are my joy and I'm your joy, and just we are delighted in each other. Just a couple seconds. If we could witness who we are in heaven. But if it's longer than a couple seconds, how much joy that would be. But even as you only see a couple seconds and it disappears, but never lose hope that that reality is our forever reality. That Jesus Christ has already accomplished. So even as you feel your brother is not loving you, remember that that brother will love you forever in heaven. So you could forgive. Because it's just temporarily that he is not loving. See the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. It's a perfect salvation. You and I, even by sinning, we cannot mess it up. But of course, we want to show it more longer. But never, never lose that hope that God gave us through His Word. That is why, even as I'm not able to show you my perfect love, I can't. I could still say I love you, because I will love you perfectly. That has already been accomplished. Let us love one another with this faith that we have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, you made us citizens of heaven, your sons, who will love you perfectly forever and who will love one another perfectly forever. Oh Father, we know we cannot do this on our own, but you made us people, your people who are in Christ. And in Christ we are able. And that reality will be visibly consummated when we see Jesus Christ face to face. But until then, even though we still live here on earth, that we would live by faith. And that faith that you give us, it will compel us, it will move us to do our best to obey, do our best to love. But even when we are lacking, you will receive it as a perfect love in Jesus Christ. Oh, the sweetness of the gospel. We love you, God. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.